I became Unitarian Universalist when I was 3 years old, and my mother took me to the first Unitarian church in Portland, Oregon, where she is still a member. I'm also Jewish from birth because my father is Jewish. I did not choose my multi-religious faith. It chose me, or life chose it for me. I still claim both Judaism and Unitarian Universalism. And so, this Unitarian Universalist tradition, so often branded a chosen faith because of its high percentage of people who come to it as adults, has never felt like a personal choice to me. The more I grow spiritually and learn about life in general, the more I am perplexed, maybe even bothered by this chosen faith idea. It's not false, but it significantly misunderstands the concept of choice and is therefore painfully limited and limiting. There are two main ways we might understand the role of choice in various dimensions of life. The first explains all aspects of identity and behavior in terms of individual responsibility, personal choice as ultimate. Economists call this neoliberalism. The other framework is the opposite. It says that we are influenced from the ground up by the possibilities offered or prohibited by the groups to which we belong. This was termed mixity by my teacher and mentor, Dr. Ibrahim Adarachman Farajajeh. More about him later. Mixity offers us fertile ground for growth and creativity, continuing the tradition of cross-pollination on which our faith and other vital worldviews are based. Here is an example of how these two perspectives, neoliberalism and mixity, differently frame a simple life moment. To send the kids on a sleepover recently, I had to run to the drugstore. The thing about parenting that no one warned me about is that we spend a lot of time running to the drugstore in a panic. This time, I needed detergent so that I could do laundry, so that I could pack the PJs. Basically, when I'm not at the drugstore, I'm doing laundry. Have you ever considered, I mean, deeply contemplated, how many options there are when it comes to laundry detergent? There are a lot. Low scent, unscented, smoky mountain dewberry, picnic unicorn scent, concentrated, extra concentrated, original formula, almost countless brands. Neoliberalism says that consumer choice is good and that an abundance of purchasing options makes for a life of freedom, free choice. Contrast this with mixity, a framework that cares about context, which might ask whether I take the bus to the laundromat or if a housekeeper is in charge, and how those factors influence my purchase. Can I equally afford all soap options, or would selecting a more or less costly product shape the rest of my shopping list or other arenas in life? Does the earth herself incur consequences for how laundry is done? A bigger worldview might even wonder if consumer choice is sometimes used to distract from other realities. Like that in just this part of Wisconsin, 1 in 5 children are food insecure, meaning that they have uncertain or no choices about upcoming meals, let alone laundry. Laundry aside, after all, I'm at work, so let's assume that the clothes are washing themselves. It could happen. Let's get a little more religious. Consider the battle between David and Goliath in the Hebrew Scriptures book of Samuel. Goliath, a 9-foot soldier, confidently boasts that he can beat anyone. Nobody dares take him on, except David, that is, a small shepherd boy with a lowly slingshot and strong faith. The common belief among Unitarian Universalists that we gather as individuals who have freely chosen a religious tradition is a Goliath idea. It's the standard. Goliath represents the conventional wisdom that we have ultimate choice, free from internal or external pressure, when it comes to doing laundry and everything else. I argue that Goliath misses the big picture and will fall with just a few pebbles launched. Here, the pebbles are a David idea, lowly but lasting, that calls the concept of individual choice-making superficial at best. David tells us that the real chooser of our actions and behaviors is a complex interdependent web of people and experiences that continually impact what we do. This web co-creates our choices with us. This David perspective of mixity recognizes that each person is embedded in communities, customs, expectations, policies, opportunities, and more, and that these circumstances lead the way to beliefs and to choices. David would point out that one's decisions are not made in isolation. We are always being influenced. Let me tell you more about my beloved mentor and his work. Dr. Farajaje, late provost and professor at Unitarian Universalist Star King School for the Ministry, emphasized the significance of mixing identities from several religions, races, and other category systems. Mixity is the holy space of complexity where people and ideas are celebrated for their layered multidimensionality. More plainly, complicated is a blessing. Farajaje embodied mixity himself by identifying with Judaism, Christianity, and Islam in different ways and at different times. Rejecting the fiction that categories of religion, gender, race, ethnicity, and more can ever be pure or unmixed. Farajaje taught about the 3 Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, together, in conversation with each other. This overlap is necessary, he maintained, since it's not possible to learn much about one of them without exploring its entwined relationship to the others. The common Goliath idea that individuals select their faith tends to view mixity as a problem, where the more nuanced David idea that individuals never act in a vacuum recognizes that complexity is a gift. Complexity is a strength. It can be a trove of offerings for experiencing and understanding the elaborate nature of being. To oversimplify is to miss a lot. Contemporary poet Kate Knapp Johnson helps me understand this through her poem, Seeing, in 3 pieces. Somehow, we must see through the shimmering cloth of daily life, its painted, evasive facings of what to eat, what to wear, which work matters, is a bird more or less than a man. When a bulb burns out, we just change it. It's not the bulb we love, It's the light. In plainer words, the task of seeing through the shimmering cloth of daily life, its painted, evasive facings, that happens when you see the big picture, the mixity. It's not just about changing the bulb, it's about seeing the value of light itself, the everything around us. And this light, this everything of context, is dimmed when we think of choice as solely the domain of individual responsibility. People don't stumble upon Unitarian Universalism out of the blue. We come to the encounter from various positions of power and subjugation, proximity and distance. That sounds simple, right? But these locations, race, personality, class, education, health, country, gender, language, and others, these make all the difference. From a quick glance at my life, you could argue that it was I who ultimately chose Unitarian Universalism, not my surroundings. And sure, I choose to be where I am every day, every moment of every day. But Unitarian Universalism typically stops at the simplistic story that we alone decide our faith, and it causes us to lose something precious. The context of what the Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker, in our reading, calls the covenant into which we are already born. The open secret is that most of us have a mixed identity to some extent, even if it's not readily apparent. Look at me, a reverend. If the subject of this sermon were, say, hope or kindness, would you necessarily assume that I am Jewish? Or take my spouse, whose father came from Kenya and whose mother is of Scottish descent. When she says heritage, our culturally prescribed way of reading race means that you would probably be more likely to think Nairobi than bagpipes. I don't know about you, but I am hungry for guidance and support from my religious tradition about how to find meaning and direction amid this complexity. Look around. Racial and ethnic heritages mix and shift, ever evolving. Genders bend, blend, and break. And folks are increasingly unmoored from social pressures to maintain a static religious commitment from cradle to grave. How should we respond? How can we be open to mixity's promises and learn what it asks us to know? I suspect that we are our own best resources for confronting the world's complex challenges and opportunities. And by we, I mean those of us who overflow tidy categories ourselves. Being at home in mixity means telling and living complex stories. It means understanding that life isn't usually all good or all bad, because everything is touched with the magic of multidimensional layers. To kelp, the creature in the story that accompanied the Wonder Box, it meant a refusal to choose at all. It is a spiritual practice to recognize, let alone seek complexity, the both and of choosing a home on land and in the sea. All of this can be hard, especially if we're used to rigid categories, like most of us are in this society. But it can be gratifying to understand ourselves as contributors to a splendid world that is complicated. instead of segregated beings who make limited choices in a bleak vacuum. We do make choices, and many of them matter greatly. But life itself also chooses. It chooses us for the great central task of making meaning right in the middle of where we are. Unitarian Universalism needs us to refuse to ignore reality's complexity. And it also increasingly depends on us improving our comfort with this stuff. Being firmly planted in more than one religion, like I am, or other category, like you might be, is both a practical tool and a spiritually expansive invitation. When we understand the value of mixity, we more accurately see what is true and helpful about our world. To embrace mixity is to live more fully than if we see ourselves as purely responsible for our destiny. So again, I did not choose Unitarian Universalism. Even the idea that I inherited that choice from my mother, while true, is incomplete because she was only one presence in my growth. No matter how I arrived, I feel lucky to be in this room, but also in this tradition. I hope you will take a moment and picture whatever place or identity feels joyous and right to you, be it Unitarian Universalism or some other way of being. Imagine that it chose you. Life chose for you that blessing. May it always be so.